Cambridge English Proficiency 1 by the University of Cambridge ESOL Examinations in conjunction with Cambridge University Press. This recording is copyright. CD 1 Cambridge Certificate of Proficiency in English Listening Test. Test 1 I am going to give you the instructions for this test. I shall introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Remember, while you are listening, write your answers on the question paper. You will have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part one. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1.
I've just seen some statistics that show that the number of graduates taking gap years is falling steadily. That must mean that they're focusing their efforts on getting on the first rung of the career ladder as soon as possible, whatever good that does, rather than taking the chance to see something of the world before they get tied into a routine.
It's a pity, really. I know some are apprehensive about what potential bosses would think. I mean, whether they'd see the gap year as a bit of a skive. It all comes down to the way it's put forward, though. If you can say what you've learned about yourself and life while working on, say, a community project in an inhospitable mountain valley, that cuts more ice with interviewers than lying on a beach somewhere exotic.
It goes without saying. And some firms think a degree isn't enough. They'd like evidence of work-related experience, though more are realising that some of the things people get involved with in voluntary work overseas are very challenging and may well turn them into more creative and dynamic staff members. I've just seen some statistics that show that the number of graduates taking gap years is falling steadily. That must mean that they're focusing their efforts on getting on the first rung of the career ladder as soon as possible, whatever good that does, rather than taking the chance to see something of the world before they get tied into a routine.
It's a pity, really. I know some are apprehensive about what potential bosses would think. I mean, whether they'd see the gap year as a bit of a skive. It all comes down to the way it's put forward, though. If you can say what you've learned about yourself and life while working on, say, a community project in an inhospitable mountain valley, that cuts more ice with interviewers than lying on a beach somewhere exotic.
It goes without saying. And some firms think a degree isn't enough. They'd like evidence of work-related experience, though more are realising that some of the things people get involved with in voluntary work overseas are very challenging and may well turn them into more creative and dynamic staff members.
Extract 2.
Most consumers go through several stages before making a purchase. First, they recognise that they have a want or a need. The consumer compares their situation to some situation they would consider to be better, and this further stimulates their want or need. In the information search stage, the person seeks information about how this want might be met. They assess past experiences, they consult external sources of information, and start to weigh up the alternatives. But since humans have a limited ability to absorb information, we generally move on to the next stage knowing only some things about some alternatives. This behaviour is of interest to marketing professionals. They look for opportunities to try to sway consumer choices toward their organisation's products. They may try to create new desires for new products, but this is costly and risky. Making sure customers aren't frustrated in making their intended purchases by offering one-click purchasing is an innovation which has proved a winner, however. We consumers are basically lazy. Few of us apparently even bother to read specifications of updated products before making our final decision to buy. Most consumers go through several stages before making a purchase. First, they recognise that they have a want or a need. The consumer compares their situation to some situation they would consider to be better, and this further stimulates their want or need. In the information search stage, the person seeks information about how this want might be met. They assess past experiences, they consult external sources of information, and start to weigh up the alternatives. But since humans have a limited ability to absorb information, we generally move on to the next stage knowing only some things about some alternatives. This behaviour is of interest to marketing professionals. They look for opportunities to try to sway consumer choices toward their organisation's products. They may try to create new desires for new products, but this is costly and risky. Making sure customers aren't frustrated in making their intended purchases by offering one-click purchasing is an innovation which has proved a winner, however. We consumers are basically lazy. Few of us apparently even bother to read specifications of updated products before making our final decision to buy.
Extract 3.
What is the single most important thing you've learned about selling online?
Well, you know, there are a lot of excellent competitors around and you have to stand out to get traffic to your site. Things can change and opportunities arise with little or no notice, and being able to effectively handle the pace is what really helps or hinders a business. Actually, selling online involves many of the same concepts of traditional retailing using different tools and techniques. We need to remember not to get too wrapped up in the tools and techniques, but rather to clearly understand how each one supports a proven retailing concept.
So what happens when it is time to grow your online business?
If you've defined the next step and are attempting to grow to it, you must already have some sort of strategic plan in mind. Whatever the experts say about this being the crucial factor, you'll never get there without sufficient resources. If these aren't in place, you'll need to get creative and hit upon new backers from somewhere before moving forward.
What is the single most important thing you've learned about selling online?
Well, you know, there are a lot of excellent competitors around and you have to stand out to get traffic to your site. Things can change and opportunities arise with little or no notice, and being able to effectively handle the pace is what really helps or hinders a business. Actually, selling online involves many of the same concepts of traditional retailing using different tools and techniques. We need to remember not to get too wrapped up in the tools and techniques, but rather to clearly understand how each one supports a proven retailing concept.
So what happens when it is time to grow your online business?
If you've defined the next step and are attempting to grow to it, you must already have some sort of strategic plan in mind. Whatever the experts say about this being the crucial factor, you'll never get there without sufficient resources. If these aren't in place, you'll need to get creative and hit upon new backers from somewhere before moving forward.
That is the end of part 1.